Thank you, Council President. I just want to talk about last week, the taxpayers in the city of Warwick sent a powerful message to the mayor, the city council, and the school committee by defeating that $50 million bond. And this had nothing to do with, you know, anybody being anti-child. We want what's best for the kids. We want good education. We want good facilities. What the message that the taxpayers are saying to the elected officials is you need to start cutting your spending. You need to cut city spending, school spending. There is enough waste and abuse in both budgets. We have over $300 million budget to easily save $30 million in the next 3 years. And I can point it out to you at some point if you're willing to listen. S&P downgraded the city bond rating in December because of the problem with the school department with their massive deficits. We have a $70 million lawsuit that Mr. Cody talked about. The school department overspent $20 million in its salary line items over the last 3 years. They got a $2.4 million deficit in the current year budget. They tapped into their health care surplus by $2 million to bring it down to 2.1. So what does it look like? They got a $4.1 million deficit going into this next fiscal year. And when you look at the amount of money that's going for teacher raises and everything else, they're probably going to be asking for, I say, anywhere from $6 to $7 to $8 to $9 million next year. That is a maximum tax increase. They do that. So how you guys are going to handle that, I don't know. But I did do a report, 70-page report. I hope you take a look at it. That talks about how the school department over 20 years ago aligned staffing to reduce student population. In the last 5 years, we've lost 1,000 students, over 1,000 students. The school department hired 24 more people. It's the school department is out of control, and the mayor and you guys on the city council need to get together and somehow do something, because I am scared to death when that budget commission gets done and it goes back over to the school department, because they're showing no signs of cutting anything. We have a school system that is built for thousands of more kids that don't exist. We have school buildings that are at half capacity. And if you look, read the S&P report, and I wasn't even aware of this, $7.9 million in bond money were just sold so the school department, the building committee, could put that money into elementary schools. Some of the elementary schools, like I said, are at half capacity. When is this finance committee or the city council going to bring in Steve Gothberg, Dave Testa from the building committee, and find out where they're spending this money? You dump $16 million into schools that are half empty. SMMA is a consulting company that was hired in 2015. They studied and they said we needed to close 2 to 6 elementary schools. I think it was 4 to 6. We closed 2. You need to bring that company back in and redo the statistics, and we need to close elementary schools, redistrict kids, and we could save tons of money in that school budget. Read my report. TheCushmanReport.com. What else are we looking at here? Interest-only payments. The mayor finally said what I was been trying to, you know, get out of him for years. How are we going to pay for the interest when the construction of these schools is going on? He said on WPRO that we're going to pay interest only for 3 years. What does that mean? He sold $150 million in bonds this last year at about 4%. That's $6 million in interest that's probably going to go into this year's budget. If he sells 350 by the end of next year, that's $14 million in 2028. That's another $14 million in 2029. That's $34 million in interest. Where are you going to get that money from? I haven't heard any kind of plan. I was talking to the council president, and maybe we can get some information on how are we going to pay for that. People are scared to death in this city. You know, I run a Facebook page, and I have 500 new people who join my group. Thousands of participants, called the Warwick Taxpayers Spin. I put a post out exactly about what I'm talking about now. 24,000 people viewed it. So if you guys don't think there's something going on in this city, there is. And don't mistake that there was such a low voter turnout, because that is telling you that there are thousands and thousands of more people hurting in this city. And if you people don't do something, this is an election year. I'll tell you one thing. I am going to do whatever I can to galvanize the people of this city, get people to run, and get people in elected office that are willing to make the tough decisions and cut spending in the city budget and in the school budget. Thank you very much.
Next is Chris O'Connell.
I got my timer, so no interruptions, just to make things, you know, smooth. Okay. So if you don't like me dressing up in a cow suit and standing on Hoxie Four Corners, then it's real simple. As, what's his name? Patriots? Robert Kraft. Do your job. How about that? Do your job. It's real simple. You don't want a high school dropout come up and barking at you? Do your job. You don't want me to go stand on Hoxie Four Corners with a sign that says, Picozzi thinks taxpayers are his cash cow? Do your job. It's that simple. We will back off if you do your job. That's it. It is that simple. Correct your wrongs. It's real simple. You make a mistake. You said it tonight, Mr. Sinappi. We worked well together afterwards. When you came up to replace the previous leadership, we all want to see you succeed. Nobody here wants to see you fail. But you know what? We are not the ones that are failing here. You all are. It's that simple. So, you want to make the city support you? Right your wrongs. It's that simple. When it comes to the Cushman report, that report was told, sections of that report, literally, number for number, word for word, in 2021, when Mr. Baxter got up and told the school committee to avoid state intervention, we must do X, Y, and Z. That never happened. So, whose fault is it for the budget deficit? Not the taxpayers. Whose fault is it for the construction overruns? Not the taxpayers. Frank wants to be buddy-buddy with Cody now. How nice is that? Should have done it 3, 4, whatever years ago. It's not like he's talking out his bum. I have someone who works in the school system. I have worked in the school buildings. I know this city. There's way more improvement required. Way more. You have one of the strongest tax bases in the state. There should be zero excuse for any sort of money mismanagement. The money comes in, you have a nice selection of people, and then the money goes out, and then you say, oh, where'd it go? I'll tell you where it went. You don't even know where it went. Therefore, nobody knows where it went. So, what am I getting at with this? Don't guilt trip the taxpayers. Don't expect any of the taxpayers to think that we're going to get the wool pulled over our eyes, because we're not. None of us are. And then, like I said before, if you don't want me coming up here and saying all this stuff, then do your jobs. There should be zero disconnect between the city council and the school committee. The city council is the one who makes the decisions on behalf of the school committee, because they present what they want, and then the city council says, well, you're going to do this or this or this. That's how it works. So if you aren't satisfied with that setup, then change it. If not, make it work. It's that simple. It's that simple. Then go give tax authority to the school committee if you're so sick and tired of them screwing everything up. That's it. 1 minute, 25 left. I'm just repeating myself at this point. I can go on social media and do this, this, and this, blah, 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 but I shouldn't have to. You don't want us to? Do your jobs. Do you want to see me in a cow suit? Do your jobs. And I'll say the same thing to the school committee. Same exact thing. Do your jobs. The taxpayers are not the problem. The people that give you thousands and thousands of dollars are not the problem, okay? And by the way, when it comes to those speed cameras, you didn't put one on Sandy Lane Road because the DPW is there. So don't try and pull the wool over our eyes when it comes to children's safety. There's no camera on Sandy Lane Road because the DPW is on that road, and there should be. And I even looked. The Warwick School Committee did a whole thing about the traffic. Sandy Lane, the entire road is red for super dangerous, but there's no camera. So, if you're going to try and squeeze money from us from every little place, put the camera and don't pay the bill. Don't put the camera so we can see that you're clearly not wanting to put the camera there. Thank you.
Next is Richard Langseth.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. As you know, we're trying to deal with the Buttonwoods Fire District and with the public streets in Buttonwoods. And I just want to talk about statutes for a minute. In 1715, the General Assembly passed a statute. The first Rhode Island Highway Statute, 1715, made it the duty of the proprietors, the owners of the property, to lay out necessary highways within their properties and upon their neglect, empower the town council to have a jury lay them out. In other words, in 1715, the owners of the property made the streets. That law remained in effect until 1904, when Mr. Green came before the town council in 1870. Mr. Green and his associates came before the town council, which included another Mr. Green, and I can assure you they're related. Mr. Green presented a petition to the Warwick Town Council saying the streets that existed in Buttonwoods at that time are public highways. That's a statute. So we go through all this machination about the common law and incipient dedication and acceptance and all that kind of stuff. It's totally unnecessary. I'm the worst offender, okay? I've been doing this dedication and acceptance for, what, 20 years now? I should have read the statute. I just read the statute. Then what I did, I went down into the archives, and I said, oh, yeah, there it is, 1870, March 14th. Mr. Green comes before the town council and lays upon them the highway, which, by the way, was a driftway before that. And what happened in 1853, Mr. Cornell went into Tiverton and went into a close. He went into a pasture, and he said, this is a public highway. And, of course, the owner went crazy, right? But, unfortunately, Mr. Cornell, a highway surveyor, the surveyor of highways, was correct. And the Rhode Island Supreme Court went through all this statutory law, went to the jury. The jury said, this is a public highway because it was dedicated by the proprietors in 1700. There is nothing different about the Buttonwood Beach Association and the old owners of the property. The old owners of the property went to the town council before the Beach Association bought the property and got it laid out as a public highway. Now, the reason for it, of course, is they wanted to increase the value of their property. They wanted the Buttonwood Beach Association to come in with a public road, which makes the property more valuable. That's why we have all these discussions about plats and highways and should we abandon a highway and all that kind of thing. It's because highways make the property more valuable, not less valuable. And in this case, that's exactly what happened. In 1870, Mr. Green went before the other Mr. Green and said, oh, here's a public highway. And the other Mr. Green said, oh, okay. And then what happened the next month, they were going to have, you know, how you have thing go from month to month, and then the second month you make your final decision. Well, what happened the second month when it was scheduled to be the final decision, hey, the first Mr. Green, he begged it. He walked away. He didn't care. So the town council just laid it on the table. It's still on the table today.
One minute, Mr. Langseth.
140 years later, the thing's still on the table right there, you know. But the statute rules. I'm not a lawyer, but I think there are some lawyers here who understand that if you have a common law and you have a statute, the statute prevails. And that's exactly what happened here. So now we're going to the CRMC, probably in March. Maybe you have a hearing, hundreds of people show up. You know, this is going to be great. And I think the CRMC is going to say, oh, yeah, these are public. But I really want the city council to understand and to be sympathetic, because I've been working on this for a long time, and I don't get a lot of sympathy, but I think we need to work together on this, and I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Next is Bill Harrington. I think it says Bill. I apologize if I'm reading it wrong.
Well, I'm Bill Harrington. I'm here to complain about the speed cameras. I find them truly, truly offensive. It is a money grab, and I think if the, I have not been to a city council meeting. I've been here 12 years. It's the first one, and let me tell you what. I've got money, the same problems. You know, in my house, if you don't have enough money, I used to have one beer a night with dinner. I don't have them anymore. I had veal cutlets twice a month. I don't have them anymore. You guys have got to start doing that kind of stuff. You run around with the Mickey Mouse thing on the speed cameras, trying just another way to raise money. The other day, I was listening to the radio, and the mayor said, well, what do you want to give up? There's two little libraries we don't need. We got a beautiful big one. You can go across the street to the big building with all those bureaucrats in it. Terminate every third one. You don't need, you got to stop. Your job, you know, somehow people, politicians have this idea that their job is to spend money. It's not. It's to govern within some constraints. Since I've been here, I wound up with, they put a sewer into my house. $23,000 I'm on the hook for. And now you want to do speed cameras on top of that? Give me a break. I mean, you know, this is nonsense. You guys have got to stop. $23,000 to get hooked up to the sewer. And the minute I get hooked up to the sewer, my water bill goes through the roof. Now tell me why that's a good idea. It's nuts. You got to get over this thing that we're going to spend money. We just have to find new ways to make it. Speed cameras are not it. Well, you know, I've heard several people say, do your job. I'd just like to reiterate that. Do your job. Stop spending money.
Last up is Corey Pontius.
Good evening. My name is Corey Pontius. It's important I begin my remarks tonight with an apology. At the last council meeting, I was one of the many individuals in the audience who was being disruptive, regardless of who said what and why and at what volume. I apologize to all of you on the council, as well as the members of the public. You see, I grew up with an alcoholic father, and I often stayed awake until he passed out to make sure my mom, this lovely woman, was okay. So when I hear insults and raise voices, it ignites something in me. And I must confess the lack of decorum at these meetings is surprising to me, because they demonstrate a lack of respect for the council, the chamber, and all of us present. I believe in civic engagement. However, participating respectfully and professionally, even civilly, seems to be an afterthought instead of a minimum standard. Sometimes our passion emerges in intense ways. But even with three police officers present, members of the public still insulted, harassed, and bullied members of the council. This brings me to my first piece of advice, for which I will turn to my right for no particular reason. Positions of power and authority should be held to a higher standard of accountability and responsibility. Part of that higher standard must be supporting each other so you can achieve what we need you to achieve. If you see or hear a member of the public insulting, harassing, or bullying one of your colleagues, and you don't actively discourage it, you lack an essential leadership quality and fail to meet that professional standard. Remember that tribalism hurts everything, the process, the people, the results, because pluralism is part of our country's success. While many have forgotten, we can still reap the benefits of a society, a place, where there is more than one good idea, more than one correct answer to a question. Disagreeing about which idea to pursue is okay. It's how we make sure the minority opinion is heard and the solutions you pursue on our behalf are reached in good faith. Decisions should not be made based on fear of reprisals or revenge from a colleague or a member of the public, myself included. Voting the path of least resistance cheapens what you've been elected to represent. But that same advice is for members of the public. If your representative or another council member votes differently than you want, that's okay. Accept it and move on to the next thing. It shouldn't send you into a frenzy. If anyone wakes up and their desire is to insult or hate or misinform with the intention of causing someone strife just because they disagree, there's a deeper issue there. For anyone whose goal is strife and not just a better life, I offer you my friendship. Let's work together to bring out the best of you and our ideas. My next piece of advice, for which I will turn to my left for no specific reason, is to embrace the wisdom of your limitations. They may narrow your understanding of the behavior of others and mark you as someone easy to compel or manipulate. I know there are issues from the past between the council, the schools, the administration, but it's important to see things as they are, not as they were, and not as someone paints them. Some artists reveal truth through their works. Others use it to lie. Turning back to the right again for no reason, if people speak of issues within this council and its relationships with admin and your responses, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I advise you to solicit feedback from other sources. You may be missing some things. Looking now to my left and my right, I want to discuss the obvious filibuster from the last meeting. Thank you very much. Concerns of an OMA violation caused several recesses and a great deal of confusion in the public and the council. The point of OMA is transparency and building trust between the public and its government. Instead of respecting that purpose, an unethical strategy was executed to fool all of you into believing you would be held responsible for an OMA violation. Transparency was prevented. Trust in government was damaged. Participation in that tactic demonstrated fear and a willingness to transform OMA from a shield for the public into a sword. And that sword wounded the health of the council and the public's interests. My last piece of advice is for everyone. When an individual puts the needs of a job ahead of their ego, they find ways to work with everyone. When an individual puts their ego ahead of a job, they blame others. I ask all of you to consider your tactics, both public and private, as you continue forward. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention.
So just as a point of order, I don't know if it's appropriate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want to thank a lot of the new faces that showed up tonight. It's actually refreshing to see new faces that haven't been here or maybe haven't come out and to hear opinions from folks that we may not have seen or met. So we appreciate you taking the time out of your nights and evenings to come here and to listen to us squabble. Thank you for coming. Just sincerely, that's all.
So I apologize for that brief pause. I wanted to ask the finance chair what his preference was for committees. So we're going to go back now to Finance Committee so we can resume the business therein. Assuming there's no objection, everyone seems copacetic. So back to Finance we go.
Let the record indicate it is now 7:29 p.m. and the Finance Committee is back in session. We left off moving to item number 4, which is found on page 31. It is the RFQ for engineering design and construction for the Appanag Cove Pier.
Good evening, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. So what you have before you in the packet is the staff's effort to procure professional engineering services to replace a municipal pier. Harbor Master Jeff Barris is with us in the audience if you had a question for him. But we're recommending to go with a company called Race in Coastal Engineering, Inc. In my staff meeting with the two other firms, which actually scored higher than Race, we could not get either of those two firms to come down to a price that Race ultimately came to. My staff consulted the staff at CRMC as well throughout this process, so we kind of had a sense of what the design permitting construction oversight number should be. And Race came back with the $75,465. So we're asking that you endorse them and we can try to get the project. The goal is to try to execute it all here spring, summer, with the intent of doing the work. I'm sorry, I'm confusing that with the dredge project. We're trying to get this done by, if we can get permits by summertime, I think we'd be in good shape. The one piece to this that is seasonal, if you will, is the special aquatic vegetation analysis. That's what I was thinking of. That's kind of specific to the season, of course. So, any questions? I'll try to answer them.
Yes. Thank you for that, Director. And you've already answered one of the questions I was going to ask, where it says following evaluation negotiations of the RFQ responses. It states, including successful cost negotiations. So just expand on that just a tad more. I know you touched on it. This has been something that I have requested on and off for years. And I'm very anxious to hear what precipitated that discussions.
Well, we had a scope of work. The highest scoring firm, GZA, actually came in at about 88,000. Went to the second firm. They actually came in at 66,000, but it didn't commit to the full scope of work. So my staff did not trust that proposal. That's what necessitated us to go to Race, who agreed to honor the full scope of work for 75 and change. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a sense of where the numbers really were in this whole thing.
And you were able to do this because what you actually went out for was a request for quotations, right?
Qualifications, qualifications and experience. Right. That's a big part of it too.
So that allowed you to get prices from these interested parties initially, and then to do just what you said, right? You reached out to them, said, hey, listen, you know, we're going to come in the room. We're going to lock the door. We're going to come up with something that works.
And all three of whom agreed on the scope. I mean, that's important. You want to be, you know, negotiating apples to apples.
Absolutely.
So
that is a process that I certainly would like to see implemented as often as possible with some of these bids that are coming in. So your funding is going to come from the account 357-0400. What's in that account now? 288,000. We've also had discussions earlier about utilizing tourism money for various things. Has any discussion taken place about using some tourism money towards rebuilding this pier?
No.
Why?
We just thought it was an appropriate use of this fund that's been on our books for a while and could use spending down. It's a good project for this mooring fee reserve.
But I'm sure there is plenty of other projects that this $200,000+ could be utilized for. The tourism money, we've also been told that that has been sitting there for quite some time as well.
The tourism money gets used regularly, but this mooring fee, you can see in our audits, it's been sitting on the books for a little while, and the mayor has this set as a priority, and the mooring fee reserve seemed like a good way to use this money instead of using tourism.
Okay, I'm just questioning if some of these requests for allocations Perhaps some of these monies could be used for some other things that have been sitting there for a long time. I get the idea of the mooring fees. I, by the way, was very supportive of increasing those fees over the years as well. Given that it's coming from the mooring fees, I'd like to hear from the harbor master. I see our harbor master is here this evening, and I'd like to hear from Mr. Barris as well.
Good evening, all. Jeff Barris, harbor master.
Good evening, sir. I don't think you've been out in the boat lately, have you?
Not lately. Couldn't if I wanted to.
We had spoken about this briefly last week, and I'd like you to share your opinions on Race Coastal Engineering and why you are supportive and confident that they will be able to fulfill the mission for the allotted amount of monies.
Well, in that regard, I have relied on the expertise of the planning department to make that recommendation, because I'm not an engineer myself. And they have a set of standards and protocols that I'm not really versed on. So that all went to planning.
Are you familiar with Race Coastal Engineering?
Yes, I've heard of them.
Okay. And you are confident in their abilities?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen some of the projects that they've worked on, and they specialize in state and municipal.
That's what I'm asking about.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this is absolutely a worthwhile project. It's something that needs to get done. Further on in this presentation folder we have, it says coastal resource assessment. And in a paragraph, I'll just skip right to the bottom part. It says, and I'm referring to this because we had another issue just recently come up about the depths of pilings. And, oh, we thought it could be 50 feet, and it ends up, oh, it's going to be 85 feet, and it's costing us another $35,000. So this is why this jumped out at me. It said, the submerged aquatic vegetation survey will not be required for this project, period. If required, additional fees may apply. That really jumped out at me and made me think back to the issue where, okay, we're down 50 feet. We knew that it wasn't going to be deep enough, and we got to go deeper, and now we're going to charge another $35,000. So how confident, and perhaps this may go to someone else other than you, Jeff, but in the context of these aquatic vegetations, and we know that pilings have effects on the movement of the soil and the earth and the water and all this other stuff, how confident are we that this is not going to be coming back to us for additional monies because we need to go deeper than what we thought?
Well, I'm pretty confident that that won't come back to us, because those studies have already been done for similar projects in proximity to this. So in discussions with CRMC, we eliminated the need for that study, the need for bottom boring to inspect the the quality of the subsurface. So we're quite confident that that will not come up.
And did you say that was there any type of test borings done up to now or not?
Not in that specific area where the pier exists now, but bottom borings have been done in adjacent areas for other commercial projects, for private projects, commercial marinas. And the CRMC is satisfied with the information that they have from those.
Okay. And so the based upon the knowledge and information that the city has and CRMC has, the soil support is adequate to do what we need,
yes,
down to the depth that we need to go.
Yes, we've been assured by CRMC.
And this price covers us for going down to what depth? Do we know?
Well, the existing, as far as driving the piles?
Yes.
I imagine that the piles would be driven to an average depth of about 15 feet.
Okay. Just bear with me 1 second. Okay, it also says removed from the scope of work. The client shall be aware for proper foundation design, specifically deep foundations. Soil test borings are recommended unless historic borings can be provided. Due to the limited scope of work, subsurface conditions will be assumed. Assumptions will need to be verified either prior or during construction. Is there a way to fast forward this so we know what we're doing?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm counting on it.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Director. We will move on to, that's it. Everything else is below the $50,000 on this particular bid package. Is there anything that members of the committee would like to have held out? Councilman Muto, anything? Nothing on this end?
No.
No? Yeah. That's okay. I want to hold out 2026. Actually, we can go right to it, seeing there's nothing. Well, no. I'm going to hold out 2026-359. It's New England Water Works Association, found on page 62. Prior to going to that, I will ask if any members of the public have any items they would like to, I'm sorry, members of the council. Are there anything any members of the council would like to have held out? Hearing none, any members of the public have anything you would like to have held out? Any members of the public? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move on to page 62. Okay, hi, Director, thanks again. This says the annual organizational membership fee is $1,500. Member price for D2 through D4 courses $1,150. And you state in the beginning, it says we would like to purchase an annual membership as there is significant savings when sending employees to attend drinking water classes there. These classes are generally required for operators, et cetera, et cetera. So by approving this item for $6,400, what is our savings?
Well, if you look at the classes that are attached, for example, page 64,
yes, sir,
and page 65, about two-thirds of the way down, it lists the course dates and then it lists the price. 600, for example, we're looking at the grade D1 prep class, $650 for a member, $810 for a non-member. If you look at the grade D2 through 4, which is required for a grade 3, member price is $1,150, non-member is $1,310. So it would make more sense to purchase an annual membership, in which case it's the city as the member, the individuals are not members, but anybody that the city sends receives the member discount.
And this is, it's a one-time purchase. How long is this good for? This
membership? 1 year.
For 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how many members or how many staff people are you planning on sending to this?
Depending on the availability and what classes come up, right now I have two spots reserved for D3, which is the D2 through 4, and 4 spots reserved for the D1, which is D1.
So it's a total of 6 spots?
Right now, yes.
And potentially more?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm looking at, in that, I think you should call it D4, there's a $160 difference between a member fee and a non-member fee.
Mm-hmm.
Times 6 people, that's $960. And in the lower one, there's a difference of, again, the same thing, it's $160. So right now, I'm only seeing a savings of $960.
Those are distribution courses. There are other courses we're required to take to maintain licensing, cross-connection control.
Okay.
Multi-day courses. Looking ahead.
So it actually, you're going to be sending more than 6 people for other courses that
correct.
Are going to be attributed to this $1,500 fee.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all I have.
Can I add something?
Sure.
So as far as the D2 through 4, I did apply to Rhode Island Trust for a $2,000 grant.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
On the D2 through 4 class, I did submit a grant back in November for $2,000 for the education grant. That should we should know the results of that fairly soon. The deadline for the grant was last week. So
good. So let's assume you get that grant.
Mm-hmm.
What's your intentions for using it?
That'll go towards the D3 classes, freeing up money for additional D3 licensing.
Okay. Good. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. That takes care of our bid. Sorry. Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Any questions from members of the council or committee? No. Excuse me? Go ahead. You guys are kind of getting boring with no questions.
Director, I just have a couple questions for you. So just to math it out, so is the $160 discount, is that pretty standard for all the classes that you're going to send people to?
Yes, all the classes okay. have a substantial discount for members.
So do you think that works out to be like if we do 40 classes, we're getting our money's worth? Do you anticipate we're going to be doing more than that?
40?
Yeah.
For 1,500?
Wouldn't need 40.
No.
So if we're...
10 classes would be 1,600.
Yeah. Right. But the ask is 6,400 for the...
No,
yes, it's 6,400.
Oh, I misunderstood.
That's
I got
the
you.
Actual
I got
classes.
You. Never mind. All looks good then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Never hesitate to ask a question. You know I don't. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on this item? Any WWA?
Sir.
Go ahead. I believe yes. we will be doing that. Yes. Okay, so other than the PCRs, we'll be voting on the rest of this, right? Okay, I need a motion.
Favorable action.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to move on to part 2. This is the actual bid package for this evening. So, Councilman Knapp is anticipating some of my questions. So with that said, I'm going to defer the question to him and he can ask the question. But should he choose not to, I am prepared to do so.
In any event, we are on bid package of 2926, that is this meeting, and I just want to, no, we're not going to drag out. As a matter of fact, I want to thank the purchasing director for keeping this to a reasonable amount. So thank you for that. First item, item 2026-353A, that is found on page one.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. We are requesting to award our bid for gasoline, low sulfur diesel, ultra low sulfur diesel, and ultra low sulfur fuel in the amount of $910,000 for a 1 year period, April 10, 2026 to April 9, 2027. The three vendors are Mirabito Energy, Global Montebello Group, and Dennis K. Burke.
Thank you. Councilman Napper. I believe you have questions, sir.
On behalf of the chair, do we know how many gallons are in the tank?
As of 9:19 this morning, we had 5,928 gallons of diesel and 2,197 gallons of unleaded.
Any other questions, Councilman?
Come on, this isn't my first rodeo.
So I know there's some humor in this, and that is questions I've been asking for 14 years. And some people may not think that it is an important question. I happen to think that some $3 a gallon or whatever the cost is, that if we're going to project usage and costs, that we need to understand and know what we have for inventory. This is no different than ammunition. Make a request for any amounts of monies. I don't understand how that can be done. If you don't know what you have, how can you know what you need? The same thing with how much did you spend in that line item last year? That's the question.
For this bid or?
For you.
So for this bid cycle, we have spent $192,099.88 on unleaded and $338,025.49 on diesel.
And that's was a 1 year bid too, right, Christy?
Correct.
Okay. So that's up to current day, right?
That is as of the invoices I received through February 4th, so
okay.
Last week.
Wait a minute. So 200, do I understand this? So your total expenditure on fuel right now is how much?
For this bid period. For this, the one that started April 10th of 2025.
Mm-hmm. To now.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, wait a minute. I think you're over budget here. We're going to talk.
No, I'm sorry. The numbers that I just gave you are from July 1. So that's what we've spent this fiscal year on fuel.
What's the total number? So from... Okay, from July 1.
From July 1 of 25. It's not from April.
Okay, and do you have it for the current bid term? How much we spent?
I have a lot of stuff written down here.
Take your time. I'm here till 12 o'clock.
So I have the last 7 months. I do have actually how many gallons we purchased.
I what, please?
How many gallons we purchased. From last April.
It's been downgraded? You're asking for less? I didn't hear what you said.
I don't have the dollar amount from April to July 1. I do have the gallons though.
Which is?
We have purchased 150,306 gallons of diesel and 112,041 gallons of unleaded for a total between the two of 262,347 gallons.
263,000?
262,347 between the two products.
Average price per gallon?
I have our monthly average that we've spent for each product.
What I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to be able to agree with your number of 910,000.
So this time last year, on our 2-4 invoice for unleaded, we paid 1.911, so $1.911. And then for the diesel, we paid 2.7948. So this time last year, we would have paid, let me make sure I give you the right one. So this time last year, they're relatively close. We paid 1.937 for unleaded and 2.8128 for,
So it's about about 235 average a gallon?
Yeah, they're relatively close to the price that we were paying. They're slightly below what we were paying last year, but there's not a gross difference between either product between this year and last year.
So you're approaching about $600,000 in expenses right now?
Correct.
Fuel, and you still have another 2 months to go? No. Yeah, well, month and three quarters.
For the bid, we do.
Right.
Not for the fiscal year.
Right.
So.
And the encumbrances, are there any additional encumbrances that you haven't included yet?
The only thing that, which I had deducted prior to giving you that number, was in the diesel line item, we do have DEF, which is the diesel exhaust fluid. That's the additive for the diesel fuel. That does come out of the diesel line item, but that was $11,951.08. So it doesn't make a huge impact on that line item.
And the numbers that you paid per gallon, oh, wait a minute, we got it right here. So, well, no, we don't.
Do you mean?
Have you made a purchase in diesel fuel or unleaded recently, like real recent?
As recently as last week. We get deliveries every week of both products.
Okay. Price per gallon on diesel fuel recent?
Last week it was on 2-4, it was 2.7948.
All right. I'm going to call it 2.8. And on unleaded?
It was 1.911.
It's about the same.
It is it's relative. It might be off by a few cents, but it's not a huge difference.
Okay. And once again, this is for spending authority, right?
Correct.
And this is this number is included in the budget that you have come to us with?
It's the same number that was proposed and approved in the fiscal year 26 budget. So we're not asking for an increase at this time unless something drastic happens with the price of oil. We expect to request the same for 27. Okay.
All right. I don't have any questions. I think the 910,000 may be a tad heavy, but given where some of these prices are, I'm not going to argue about it. Any questions from members of the committee? No Councilman question. Napa, and don't ask any more of my questions, please.
Director, just one question for you. I appreciate how prepared you are tonight, and I didn't ask you this in advance, but I assume it's common knowledge for you. The daily posted price, where do you harvest that from? Is that for...
We have a subscription for that that we pay for yearly, and then from... So Public Works pays for that, and it's disseminated to fire, police, and sewer for their
fuel needs. So it's, you know, facilitated by Public Works, but we do share it with the other departments.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Christy. Hearing none. Christy, Major Hart, you're going to come up next. Great. Come on up. We're on item number 2, 2026-353B, found on page 12. Go ahead, Major. You have the floor.
Good evening. Bob Hart for the police department. The police department went out to bid for unleaded gasoline. A total of 7 bids were received. The police department recommends that the bid be awarded to Dennis Burke of Taunton, Massachusetts, who is the lowest bidder with a price of approximately 5 cents over the lowest daily unbranded gasoline price. That price is just ever so slightly less than last year. The department maintains its own 12,000-gallon fuel tank and is a fueling station for police, fire, and other city vehicles that use gasoline. The department is seeking the same spending authority as in the past, a total of $405,000. To be from budget code 3220 gasoline.
Thank you for that, Major. And I must say, I am, for what it's worth, I'm pleasantly happy with both Christie's preparation as well as yours. And it looks as though, that's not true. There was other bids on the police fuel, and one of them was like double. Yeah. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Want me to give you one? No? Okay. Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Actually, Major, I do have one. I think you said it, but I couldn't understand it. $405,000 you're requesting for this year. What was your ask for last year, or what was the budget for last year?
Same exact thing.
Same number?
Same number.
Okay. And do you have the dollar amount that you have expended for the contract period?
Well, I can tell you that for the fiscal year, and then let me get to that, we have spent $315,241, okay?
Fiscal year, so from July 1st to current day, 315.
Correct.
I'm done. Okay, any other questions? That's what I'm asking, sir. Any other questions from members of the public? Thank you for the clarification, sir. Any other questions from members of the public? Thank you, sir. I'm so grateful. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, moving on. Next number 3, 2026-363, found on page 15. It is Microsoft 360 licensing and support.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director, 365. Please don't cheat us out of those 5 days.
So, Director, I just want to remind you of my
knowledge,
skills, and aptitude when it comes to technology. So the best thing I can say is, if you confuse me, you're going to lose.
Ah.
Go ahead.
We have two to help out. This is a 5610 request to piggyback off the state of Rhode Island's MPA 227 and award the city's Microsoft Office 365 licenses to Dell Inc. in the amount of $98,715.50. just to summarize what's in here, there's two pieces to this, who we're going with, why we're going with them, and why we're doing it in the first place. Microsoft's licensing is strictly volume-based. Piggybacking off the state, we get to use the pricing that's available to the state's commitment, which is a lot higher than ours would be, obviously. We use Dell for our other Microsoft licensing. Microsoft does not vary their pricing by who you're buying it from. So the only thing these places really offer you, other than whatever you're due by their by Microsoft's licensing charges, is services. We've gotten some really great services out of Dell. That was not always the case when it was local, but we now have our account team out of Chicago for whatever reason, and these guys have been fabulous. They've offered us a lot of free consulting when we have problems. We just call them up, and they get their experts on the phone with us for no charge. so that's why we're going with the state bid and going with Dell. Why we're doing this first place is Microsoft announced, I believe in September of last year, that they've withdrawn support for development on on-premise Exchange. We have run Exchange locally in the data center downstairs for years. It's starting to get a bit long in the tooth, and now Microsoft simply said, like every other software company, they're moving toward a SaaS solution, a software as a solution, as a service, excuse me. It is purely for the software company's profit. They are not doing it for any altruistic motive. However, it does help us in that we now can offload a lot of the support work that we do to keep the server running. The storage that goes along with it gets offshot to Microsoft, and they have an economy of scale available to them. So this is new venture for us to go into Office 365. We've broken it down, and our best estimate is 250 individual employees will use the entire suite of products, meaning the Word, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint, and so on. And then there's going to be an Exchange license is just email. So we have a number of employees that simply use email. They really don't have a need for it. And for those that need to read a Word document, we actually utilize a free-ish, it is free, open source program for viewing a document. So we put that on some of the PCs out there where the people really don't have a technical need for it.
Okay, so I understand every single thing that you said. And I only have one question.
Yes, sir.
From what I'm understanding, there is no other option for us financially than staying with state or following the state because of their volume, et cetera, et cetera.
We can go on our own, but it would be more money, yes.
Yeah.
It's the most economical way for us to do it.
Okay. Economical, I get. Any questions from members of the committee?
Go ahead. Just a clarification. The reason why Councilman Lattiser was confused was that in the docket, it does say Microsoft 360.
Oh, okay.
Not 365.
I apologize. So. On my position letter, it says 365.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you, sir. I included all 365 days.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
So his comment about confused was misinterpreted with misdirected.
Well, actually,
thank you for clarifying that.
Do we need to correct it if it's wrong in the docket?
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. I know it's minor, but
it is a minor point. I'll defer it to the solicitor. Although it does say in the position paper, Microsoft Office 365 licenses to Dell. So the identification, I think, is in there. But again, I'll just refer it to the solicitor. That clear enough?
That's not come up.
Oh, the question was from Councilman Muto. He questioned, it says Microsoft 360. The director said it's actually Microsoft 365. But in the position paper, it does reference it as Microsoft 365. In the bid title, it speaks to Microsoft 360. That's only in the yep. bid title. So what's your pleasure?
If the council is interested in the technical update, we can address that via an amendment to the resolution itself.
Okay.
The committee so can recommend it if action. It wants. We can treat it as a Scrivener's error, perhaps, but the council would be the one to amend the actual physical resolution itself to reflect that.
Okay, so we can let them do it, right? We don't need to do it. Okay.